Great escape. The great escape. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. Very familiar portion of Scripture. We've gone over it so many times until you ought to be able almost to be able to quote it. But that's what we're going to be looking at. And we've called it the great escape. And we hope to help you to refresh your memory tonight and to ground you and to help plant your feet a little more firmly in the Word of God. Because since some guy came up with a survey that time, as I've told you, that said people remember about 10% of what you say, I got to preach the sermon a lot of times before I get to 100%. Isn't that right? About 10 times I got to preach the same sermon 10 times before you can remember the sermon that I preached. That's a lot of work. I don't think I'll spend that much time on it. But anyway, the great escape. Now, the actual bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The actual bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Please don't get ahead of me. Please listen to what I say. I'll try to keep my tongue off of my eye teeth and keep it straight. But the actual bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth, at which time His feet will actually touch this earth. The last time His feet actually touched this earth was, of course, when He ascended after the 40 days after His resurrection. But His return back to this earth, at which time His feet will actually touch this earth, this is a scriptural truth. Now, there are a lot of unbelievers in the world who say they really believe that. Yep, we believe that because we've read a lot more of the Scripture and we've found that to be true, too. So we still keep on believing it, and we'll believe it till we find we can't trust it. That's fair enough, isn't it? It's a scriptural truth. It's not a story that Christians tell each other to make themselves feel good. I hate that kind. I don't like that. I mean, if I get encouraged, I want it to be a real, factual thing that took place. I don't like to build my house on sand, you know, just imagination. I mean, I want the solid thing. If I'm going to try to establish it as a point of contact for my life to help me to stand. And so this is a scriptural truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually going to come back. He's been here one time. And He'll actually come back again, and He's going to actually have His feet touch this earth, this old planet here. And that's not a speculation, and that's not a lot of mumbo-jumbo. That's as true as it can be. In fact, it's pure truth. There's no error in it. It's solid, and it's sound. Now, today we live in a time when you can't believe 95% of what you read, and then the other 5% you've got to sift it to be sure you didn't get some stuff in that that wasn't right. But when you sit down with the Bible, and I'm talking about the King James Bible, it's nice to know that you can sit down and read the Word of God, and you can actually say, well, this is the one thing I can read, and I don't have to worry about it being corrupt. Of course, there's some poor people that have that security and that assurance taken away from them. They don't think they have a sound Bible anywhere, and that does make a mess out of your life if you believe that much. Now, that glorious event, and when I say glorious event, I think that's, well, words just don't say enough about the glorious event of the second coming of Christ. But that glorious event can be clearly and positively and certainly calculated as to when it's going to happen, because according to the Bible, now, we're talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth where His feet actually touches the earth like yours touched it on the way in here. Okay. That can be clearly and positively and certainly calculated, figured out, because it'll take place exactly 7 years after Antichrist signs that deceptive agreement with Israel, promising them peace and safety and security at what begins the 7 years tribulation period. Now, that's right. All you have to do is, if you're around at that time, or you were around at that time, and it's possible some of you here that are not saved be around at that time, you can take the date you read in the papers, it comes over the television or whatever, the Antichrist signed the papers guaranteeing Israel they'll be safe from here on. They can worship in their temple. They're not going to have to worry about somebody trying to wipe them off of the face of the earth, which, of course, is a lie. But in other words, He'll convince them and they'll believe it, I guess out of desperation. But if you take the day that you'd read that or hear that on television, and you'd take your calendar and you'd go ahead, and it's one of these calendars that you could go ahead for several years. You've seen that kind. If you want to know what Wednesday, that your birthday is going to be on each year for 7 years, you just go through the calendar and look through these calendars. If you took it and went 7 years ahead, 7 years later, you could put it right down on that calendar, that 7 year calendar. Jesus Christ's feet will touch the earth today. He's coming back today. And you can know that you have exactly right because God doesn't say thereabout or there or somewhere in the neighborhood of or a ballpark figure. That's what the Bible actually says. Now, it'll be actually possible, and I want to repeat this, and I want you to understand we're talking about the coming, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ actually back to the earth. It'll actually be possible for anyone here on this present earth, nothing changed, to note the date of the signing of that agreement, that covenant, that contract, whatever you want to call it, that treaty, and then count forward 7 years, and they can make a notation that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to the earth on such and such a date. In other words, 84 months later, 2,520 days later, or 7 years later, they can actually make a note on their calendars that he'd be coming back at that time because they're starting from the date the announcement came out that he had made that agreement or signed that covenant with Israel. That's biblical. That's biblical. But I'm going to you to stay with me because if you don't, you'll be messed up, and that's not the purpose of my message. My message tonight is to help you not to be messed up on the second coming of Christ versus of the rapture. Now, that's what I want to help you tonight. If you have any trouble with it, you need to clear your mind. Now, you could also count from what's called the abomination of desolation. You certainly remember reading that scripture. We're not going over there and looking it up for the sake of time. But you could count from the abomination of desolation that's spoken of by Daniel in Matthew 24:15. Now, listen to this. Here is a scripture on that, Matthew 24:15. Reminds us that Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, you could take the day that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel in Matthew 24:15, and you could count forward only 3.5 years if you'd be around at that time. And then you could mark down on your calendar, Jesus Christ's feet will touch this earth at this time. Because you're starting halfway through the 7 year tribulation period to figure. Now, we first gave you an illustration of 7 years, and you figure forward 7 years. Well, if you started with the abomination of desolation, which begins halfway through when the Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel, and declares himself to be God, and sets up an idol of himself and so forth, and defiles the temple, you could count forward for 42 months. 1,260 days, and then you could mark it down that on such and such a date, the Lord Jesus Christ will be returning to planet Earth, and his feet will touch planet Earth. And that's the second coming. Remember, in the first coming, it's not hard to keep these coming straight. If you'll remember that in the first coming, we're talking about his first coming to this earth, to the earth. He was born here on this earth. His second coming has to do with him coming back to this earth, his feet touching this earth. He actually comes back to the earth. Then it'll help you to keep the first coming and the second coming of Christ separated better to some extent, unless someone fails to explain that they're talking about two phases of what they call the second coming of Christ, and they'll include the rapture as the first phase of that, and then his coming back to earth as a second phase, but I'm trying not to get into that tonight because I don't want to introduce too many things to you tonight while I'm speaking to you. Now, that's the second coming of Christ back to earth. But now it's an entirely different matter when we're talking about the rapture of the saints and Christ coming back for the saints, as 1 Thessalonians talks about here. It's an entirely different matter. And because He comes back after the saints, the saved persons are people that are alive on the face of this earth, whose bodies have to be changed. That's all has to be done. Just their bodies have to be changed. And the Apostle Paul said there'll actually be men and women, boys and girls, walking around on the face of this earth, saved, who when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and stops in the air, he does not come back to touch this earth. That's not the second coming. You can divide it up, the second coming, into two phases and make that phase one where he just comes and stops in the air. And then you make the second phase where he actually comes back to the earth. Whatever how you want to do that, we want to make sure that you understand. We're talking about the rapture now. He does not come back to the earth at that time. Now, he comes back. He catches away the saints. That's what the word rapture means. You'll not find the word rapture in the scripture, but that you see there where there is a catching away of the saints of God. And that's why we call it the rapture. Just use one word. It's very convenient that way. And once people learn what the rapture is, you say rapture, they understand what you're talking about. You don't have to go into a big, long explanation about it. And of course, along with these bodies of these living folks being changed, you have the bodies of the saints that have to be raised. This will be their new bodies. In fact, and the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, we will not have our bodies changed first, according to Scripture, but the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we'll be second. But it's all right for me. If I'm second, that'll be fine with me. I'm telling you right now, I won't mind that a bit. I'll just rejoice at that, you see. It'll just make me have a wonderful time anyway. You won't take it. But actually, they have to be changed. Then the Bible says that God catches up all these people. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, catches up all these people and into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He never touches the earth when he comes back after the saints. Now that's, he'll be back. And he'll be back with the saints. But he'll be back with the saints bodily, because the rapture will have taken care of the body situation. What we'll have of the rapture in the rapture is the catching away of the people that are here on this earth, and then, of course, the change, the resurrection of the saints that have died during this church age, as it's often referred to. This age of the existence of the New Testament church. It hasn't always been here, and it won't always be here. We're talking about it began when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, and it'll end when it's caught away. And that's what we're talking about. And so this is entirely different matter from the second coming of Christ to earth. Altogether different. Different people involved in different things are happening and so forth. Now, no one, and we want to make this very clear, no one can calculate when that wonderful event is going to take place. It can't be, it hasn't been, and it won't be known ahead of time. Matthew 24, 36 through 42 tells us this. If you will, just listen here. Matthew 24, 36 through 42. All right. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only, Jesus speaking. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But notice what he's talking about. He's talking about not coming back to the earth. He's talking about the rapture. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it was just life as normal. Life was going on as normal. When Noah went in the ark with his family, he closed the door and waited a while, and then the floods began to come. Life was going just as normal for the world. And they could say, well, what happened to Noah and his family? Well, they went in that ark he built, you know, and they're still in there and they haven't come out. Yeah, but the flood's getting ready to come. And there's just a short period. I call it a short period of grace. But anyway, you see, dear people, the folks just thought everything's going to be tomorrow or today just like it was yesterday. And everything will be tomorrow just like it's going to be today. And this is just the way it is. And the world's just going to keep on going. That old man that built that ark out there was just a fool. And he is crazy. And he's a little bit mentally off. And his family is following him. Well, we know the truth. We know that the crazy people were all the ones on the outside of the ark. And the wise ones were all the ones on the inside of the ark. So you don't let the world laughing at you and calling you crazy or nutty because you believe the Bible upset you. There was a whole world full of people did that one time. And they drowned for their trouble. They drowned for their trouble. And when they drowned, they weren't laughing at the old man and his family in that ark either. Not at all. They climbed to the highest place they could find and found that that wasn't sufficient. The judgment of God could overtake them wherever they were. Now, dear people, in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, I want to also read you something there from the Scripture. Luke 21, 34 through 36. Let me get right over there. And let's listen to that for a while. All right. Luke 21, 34 through 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Sound like he's trying to talk about some Christians who've backslidden, doesn't it, you? He said, be careful now. Be careful that you keep waiting around. You say, well, I have nothing to that. I don't think he's coming. And get your life messed up. And the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What's he talking about? He's saying, be ready, be watching. In other words, be saved. And be expecting the Lord to come. And be living right. Be doing right. Be a proper witness for the Lord. Be standing up against the temptations and the onslaughts of an unbelieving world. Be resisting the efforts of the world to conform you to its image. Because you've got a better experience and something better ahead of you than what they've got to offer. You see, Christians are the most, they have to be very far sighted people. They have to be able to look way down by faith and see what today they can't see except by faith, believing what God has said. That's what Christians have to do. The world just sort of lives from day to day. But Christians, we're looking far ahead, way ahead, way ahead. We're very far looking people. We have some vision, scriptural vision, biblical vision of what's going to take place. Now, that great escape is what, that's what I'm calling that great escape, being able to escape the things that are going to come on the world as the great tribulation takes place. You see, we're not just being caught out for no good reason. There are several good reasons. And one of them is God just decided they're not going through that. My people are just not going through that. I'm going to go ahead and catch them on out and get them on out of here. And then turn that thing loose. And away it's going to go. Especially after the first 3.5 years when Israel is under the terms of that deceptive covenant. All right. Now, the Bible tells us that not even the angels know that date. Did you notice that? In Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. The angels don't even know when Jesus Christ is coming back for the rapture. For the rapture. Now, there'd be no trouble figuring out when he's coming back to this earth if you were here whenever the tribulation period began. You could figure it out. 7 years, that's it. Abomination of desolation, 3.5 years, that's it. But the rapture, it's a different story. Because there's nothing that you can say, well, from this to this, it's going to be this. Because not even the angels know when that date is going to take place. But he says, there's only one here. And he says, and that is my Father. My Father, he's only one. That's kind of strange, isn't it? It's not even known by Jesus Christ in his humanity. Keep in mind that he was the God-man. I don't understand how he did this, but I understand the scripture to mean here that as man he limited his knowledge that he had access to his God, willingly limit himself. But he was still God and still had access to it if he'd had to get to it, but he didn't. He faced it as man. And that's what I understand when it says, at that hour, day and hour, no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. See? That's what the scripture has to say. It's not known. It's not known that time. Neither does any man, does the scripture say, know this. And so sometimes, you know, there are folks who get a lot of attention on the radio and television by saying that they can figure out when Jesus is coming back. Well, you can't figure it out either one of these things. You can't figure out but when the rapture is going to take place, if you're calling that the first phase of the second coming, and you certainly can't figure out whenever his feet are going to touch the earth because we don't have anything to figure from yet. Because the tribulation has not started. You see? So we don't have anything to figure from. So right now we can't figure out when either one of them is going to happen. But there is a time coming, and will be a time coming, when a person could figure out when Jesus Christ's feet were going to touch the earth, because he figured from the day that covenant was signed with Israel. I hope that I don't confuse you by trying to make that clear. I've been accused of doing that sometimes, but I just want you to be able to understand it just as clearly as you possibly can. So it appears that according to the scripture, the rapture will take place before the seven-year tribulation begins. Now, just how long, I can't just say with certainty, because if you'll notice, it doesn't say in the Bible how long it'll be after the rapture of the saints before the tribulation period starts. Doesn't say. I've assumed for the greater part of my ministry that it would be like the rapture takes place today and the tribulation begins tomorrow. But I said, I assume that. If you said, show me in the Bible, I'd have told you just what I... And I wasn't the only one. That's the general thinking. But when you get right down to it and you look at the Scripture, the Lord doesn't say. It could be a year. It could be 2 years. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years. Because I'll tell you, sometimes the Bible talks about things and there's this big space between them and it doesn't mention it, that big space is there. But it's certainly going to take place. So I don't know how long it'll be, but I know that I'm not going to stick around and find out. See, I won't. I won't. Of course, if you're not saved, you'll be left behind when God comes, when the rapture takes place. You'll be left here. Well, you say, well, what will I do? Well, what you were doing beforehand, live without God. That's it. It's about all the choice you're going to have. You say, well, the Lord kind of snatched everybody out. But mom and daddy will be gone. That's your problem. You see, you were offered eternal life. How many times? More time than you can count. And you said, no, 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 for your own reasons. And God said, okay, my son might come at any time and catch away the saints in this particular age you're living in. And if they do, you're going to be left here. And you said, well, I just go ahead and take my chances. And you did. And you know, when you're getting ready to gamble, you better know what the odds are, or what the results will be if you lose. If you're a gambler and you bet $1,000, you better be willing to pay that $1,000 because it could be that you're going to end up owing that $1,000. And so whenever you lay your soul down on the line with the devil and you say, I'm going to take this chance, you better know what the results of taking that chance can be. And if you don't, it's not because the Lord hadn't told you. He made it very plain. I understand it. I'm of average intelligence. I've always been glad I'm just of average intelligence. I'm no genius. If I was a genius, if I'd say, well, no wonder he can understand it because he's a genius. Fellow, listen to me. He said, well, if that fellow can understand it, I can. That's all right with me. That's better. That's a plus in my favor. All right, dear people. The rapture is very different from the second coming of Christ back to earth, which, let me repeat, can easily be figured out using certain events when they occur, as I've already illustrated to you. It's a fact. You say to some people, they say, can't be done. Lord said, nobody knows the day and the hour. Well, see, they just haven't gone far enough in their study. And if they had, with the simplest of math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, you learn to count 10 right early in the first grade, don't you? I reckon it may be the fourth or fifth now. I don't know where it is out there in public land. But I learned to count real easy. And I jerked up 10 fingers and started to count. And the teacher said, you won't do that. And I said, what? Said, nope, you won't count your fingers. You will learn how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you'll just be looking at it. Put the fingers in your pocket. And that's what I learned to do. They would not let me count on my fingers. Nope, they wouldn't do it. Well, I'm glad they didn't. Because I do a lot of figuring in my head. You see? And I don't have to count on my fingers. But anyway, you need to know how to count, whether it's on your fingers or what. But if you can count to 10, you can handle that once you know when that contract or that peace treaty is signed. Now, I don't believe tonight, and this is another thing that I've had to change on through my years as I've grown in the Lord. And you see, as you grow in the Lord and study the Word, you will be making some changes in your views of some scriptures. That's what comes with growing in the Lord. It's actually talking about growing. For when I went into the first grade, I could not write my name. Of course, there are people that say I am now much older and still can't write my name. But I scratch it out there anyway. I know what I'm putting down anyhow, you see. But I don't believe there'll be any specific signs before the rapture. I don't believe there'll be any specific signs that Jesus is coming to stop in the air. Matthew 24, 37 through 39, listen to this, what it has to say. It says here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. No special signs about the flood coming. The only thing different was the ark being built. But that wasn't any sign in the sky or anything. And so that's why whenever you're around your kin people, maybe you too, and there's things start happening up there, comets started dancing around, zooping across the sky. A lot of folks grab the phone, start hollering, is the world coming to the end? Is the world coming to the end? And you feel like saying, no, you dummy, if you'd go to church sometimes, you'd know better than this. But you're nice and you don't say that, you see. But you think that. That's what happens when you don't go to church. Every time something up there in the sky zips around, as it does sometimes, folks get excited. And they think that they're going to get ready to meet the Lord. Don't worry. The great escape, the big thing that's going to take place next will be over with, and they won't even know it happened. Of course, some people do believe that at the resurrection of the saints, that they'll... God will open the grave. We'll not get into that tonight. They'll be able to walk out of the cemetery and see where you used to lay. And it'll be a witness that you're gone. Well, I'm not going to get into that tonight. My wife talks about running rabbits, and I won't run that rabbit. Because we can get off over there, because we'll get after him and his brother will jump up. And we'll get after him and his sister will jump up. And pretty soon we'll have forgot where the main rabbit was, the daddy rabbit that we started running to start with, and won't nobody know really what happened, but we ran a whole bunch of rabbits and we didn't catch a one. All right. So I'm not going over there tonight. But he says here that everything will be just rolling along, and there won't be any extra signs, any signs at all. I don't believe that at all. In Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41, Notice what it says. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In other words, you'll be right in the middle of your job, you'll be right in the middle of your extra, your regular duties, and all of a sudden, this is all going to take place. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. I'd like to experience that. I don't know I might be able to experience that. He said, nobody knows. All he said is just watch. Be ready. Be ready because you don't know because there's no dates given or no special signs to say, here he comes. You just have to be ready to go from wherever you are. You see? Wherever you are. Well, dear people, this rapture is going to be very unlike conditions on earth before the second coming of Christ. See, everything going to be for the rapture, everything going to be just rolling along. We're just going to be sleeping late. Heard Brother Mike, 11, 12 o'clock. You know, going to have to be changed from their bedclothes to underwear. Me, I'm going to already be up. If you come during my lifetime, you know, that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord can take care of that, can't he? He can take care of that. But anyway, whenever the second coming takes place, when Jesus actually comes back to touch this earth, hey, things won't have been rolling along like normal then. Because when we go to the book of Revelation, we find out that there will be calamities and judgments and catastrophes. There will be people being killed by the millions. We'll find that there will be all kind of things happening in the sea and disrupt shipping. And boy, I'm telling you what, big old pieces of hail falling that we've never seen the like of. State Farm will be running crazy. What are you after? We just one car? No, they just demolished the whole town, that big piece of hail. It just earthquakes that shake the whole globe. Now, that's what happens before Jesus comes back to actually touch the earth. That will have happened during the 7 years, especially the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's not life going on as usual. Not down on 1118 Shady Lane. Maybe up there around Union Hill. Y'all have exciting times like that. But it's not there. But it will be different. You see, there's a lot of difference between the two. And that'll be the last half of the 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Therefore, let me emphasize again, we are warned. We are warned in verse 42 of Matthew 24. We are warned to be ready and watching for the rapture. Not the lost people, because the lost people are not going anywhere. See? But for those that are saved, we are warned to be watching, not to get careless, not to be caught up with the world and it's going on around us, because who wants to get caught up right into the presence of Jesus in a brand new body, backslidden? And we will give an account. Wouldn't it be embarrassing for Jesus to say, what are you doing over there at your brother in Christ's house flirting with his wife? Yeah, you. Yeah, don't give me that innocent look. Right? Well, there's an emergency. She called me over there. She needed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Of course, it's not going to happen that way, you know. I'll say there'll be some Christians called where they're not supposed to. See? There's no question about that. But we're going to have to face him. We're going to have to face him to give account of ourselves as Christians. Now, that's those of this church age. I'm in that one. And you know, dear people, I look around sometimes, and I said this before. Things look tough to me. I lived in a freer America than we live in. I preached in a freer America. I preached to people whom I believed, many of them loved the Lord and were saved. They seemed to enjoy the Word of God. They didn't seem to have much time for you if you didn't try to preach the Word of God the best you could, even though you might not have done the best that you could do later on. Yet, they were interested. They'd shut down their work if they're out in the fields gardening. They'd close the gardening down, come to church. I mean, they really cared. I'm glad I lived in those days. You see, I'm glad as I look out at Kay, and I look out at Angel, and I look out over there at Gabby, and I look at Elizabeth. I know things and have enjoyed things that they'll never see. They can't even imagine. They can't even imagine. That's right. They'll never know that. I believe I've seen the best that America has to give. You see, I'm already looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I get real concerned, and I get real burdened, as I've told you before. I get real concerned, but then I have to stop and think, well, every day that I lay my head on my old pillow, and I got me one of those pillows you saw advertised on TV, that you poof, 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 and they puff up there and supposed to sleep good. They showed up at Walmart. And my wife said, you've been wanting one, better get you one. I said, all right, I will. So I took it home, and I poof, poof, and I poof, poof, and I threw it up there and laid down and said, oh, boy. This is fine. And so I sleep on that every night. And when my head goes back on that night, well, I says, you go to sleep in a hurry. Well, I'm right with the Lord. I don't always go to sleep in a hurry, of course. That's not so. But I lay back there and I say, thank the Lord for another day. I mean, I've got another one. And I've enjoyed with my family. None of my family died and went to hell that day that's lost. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. But I, you know, sit around and pray and think about all the... I think about spiritual and physical issues with my loved ones most of the time. Spiritual, right at the top. If I pray for one physically, rarely do I miss praying for them spiritually. I'll always include for everybody I pray for. If they should happen to be lost, Lord, please save them. Please save them. I always put that in there. That is the most important. And I enjoy that. And I was thinking, well, about Obama. And I'm thinking about how things are going. And then I just remember, well, this just means I'm laying down here. There's one less day between me and the coming of the Lord. Tomorrow he could come. Tonight he could come. See, because while all these days are passing, that doesn't mean he's not coming. That means he's just that much closer to coming. And so, I get a lot of comfort from that. I get a lot of strength from that. I get a lot of blessing. I get a lot of spiritual energy, if you want to call it that. Spiritual energy to get up and go on and keep on fighting and keep on going on. Because sometimes the devil says, I'll tell you one thing right now. Look like you're not doing much. I'm doing a lot. I'll walk right into church where you are and take your young people out and walk right out that door with them. What you do about it? You don't do nothing. And I say, that's right. You whip me a lot, but I'm still on the winning side. Amen. And the battle's not over. You see, all the devil taunts me in my mind sometimes. He says, just remember, you ran the Christian school, how many of them do you have in your church today? I got a lot of them. You didn't get them. You didn't get them. I got a lot of them. And you know, bad thing about that, Brother Charles, it's true. I put a lot of prayer and a lot of time and hard work in. You put some in back there too, didn't you? Just Stephanie. And just as soon as they got to where they could do something for the Lord, they packed their bags and took the devil by the hand and sallied forth into the world. That's not what we wanted them to do.
That's right.
That's not what we prayed they'd do. That's not what we were hoping they do. But temporarily it looks like that, but the battle's not over with. I know the battle's over with if I'm still around when you that are sitting here tonight lost go. And that's it. And I'll say, well, that one's in hell. They never turned to Christ. Somebody said, well, you don't know. What do you think it's put in the Bible for? Well, you say, what'll that do? I'll say, well, that one's gone. That life is over between me and that one. It's just like it comes up and goes, you're not going to talk to them anymore. It's over. That's over. The lost person and you, if you're a saint of God, you're lost people, that's over with you and them. Just forget it. Mama, you had a thing. All you can do is go back and you can live in the memories of the past. But as far as the future is concerned, it's over. They may as well not even exist. You say, my, that's such a depressing thought. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm not in charge of that. God is. He couldn't have be anybody better than Him in charge. God is love. I'm not love. I'm not love. I love folks, but I can't love like God. And I am not love as to my person. But He is. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's got the power. He's in the best hands He could be in. The Great Escape. Are you going to be in it? Let's stand, please. Read it with yourself. Remember tonight, folks, we're not here a bunch of old stupid people trying to make each other feel good, giving ourselves a pep talk, motivation talk. I know when I was out there in the world as a personnel manager, we'd go off to seminars sometime, this guy would get up there and he's a personal motivator. He's one of these guys that could talk things up. You know, hi, go get him, charge your battery. That charge didn't last too long. It would go down. Sometimes it didn't even charge anybody's battery that was there. They just went to get off from work that day and get a pretty good meal for 2 or 3 days and came back home just about the same shape they were in when they started. Yeah, that's not what we're here for tonight. We're here doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're there saved by the grace of God. He wants us. He wants us to be comforted and strengthened and energized, not by fairy stories, but by His promises that will not fail under any circumstances whatsoever. I like that. I like that. I like that. I hope tonight you're ready. May God help you. All right, Miss Rita. Yes, sir, only the Christian can say things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And we really don't even have the slightest idea of just how much better. We got a little inkling, but we don't really even understand the half of it. You see, isn't that wonderful? Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And we can say that and know that that's true. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time to be dismissed. Holy Father, bless Your Word. Use it in the hearts and lives of all present for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good night to you.